what I'm going to do, you know, personally to handle that. So if you can try to see in the future and expect success and growth to occur, then you can go ahead and talk about those issues with yourself and with your team, and just, again, stay in front of it. That's one. The second is really understanding just who you are.
Hey, welcome back to the show. And today I'm so excited to have back on the show Ron Holt. And he's going to share with us a whole bunch of really cool stuff that most of you have always dreamed about, never actually executed on. Ron, would you please tell us who you are and what do you do?
Yeah, so I'm Ron Holt. I am a home service nerd. I love everything about the home services industry so much that I have started multiple businesses. My original business was called Two Maids and a Mop. Believe it or not, we clean homes. We built that from one location and then almost 100 locations before I sold it to focus on my new project, Pink Zebra Moving, which obviously means we move folks. We serve nine locations across the country, but we're going to take over the world here soon.
Love it. Love it. So you're at nine so far.
Yeah, nine locations and growing. We've had a fast start to this year. Kind of want to be somewhere between 10 to 15 locations open per year. And it looks like we're going to hit that mark this year and hopefully next year too.
Fantastic. So for those that are new to what he's talking about, you're an expert at building and growing home service franchise models. Is that safe to say?
Fair enough. That's exactly what I love doing. Yeah.
Fair enough. Now, you and I talked last time about Two Maids and a Mop, and I absolutely loved the model. I loved having, I'm going to reference the show down in the show notes here below, but we talked a few years ago, it's been more than 3 years ago, about that business and where you were taking it at the time. I'm going to assume you learned some valuable lessons from doing that, and you're going to execute those quicker and faster and better this time. Tell us, what are some lessons you learned from that first go around, and what are you doing different this time?
Yeah, so life is a series of journeys, right? And so I feel like I've lived so many journeys along the way, especially in my entrepreneurial side of things, you know, from early 20s to now. Right. So many mistakes with Two Maids and a Mop. Like, so much success that I'm super proud of. I can't believe I actually built this one single cleaning business location into 100 locations across the country, but I did it. It wasn't so perfect, awesome, though. You know, so many mistakes. One, just right, how you find and qualify a franchise candidate. Franchise candidates go out and they're carrying the sword. They're the ones out there that are right, doing the work, and you got to make sure you find the right people. And early on at Two Maids and a Mop, you know, we were just so happy to open a new location. We didn't get too caught up in the qualification side of things. And so that came back to hurt us a little bit right, over time. So we've had to learn that here. We don't want to just grow and grow and grow here. We want to grow smart in the right way, right, you know. So there's some calculations that we kind of take into consideration when we're assessing a franchise candidate now, and we didn't have the benefit of those mistakes early on like we did now. So that's one big one. I mean, I could keep going. When you think about probably the biggest mistake we made, this makes me look like a kind of big fool here in a minute, but we sold the entire franchise rights to the Washington DC metropolitan area to one person at Two Maids. And so thankfully we didn't have too much pain from that, but we don't do that now. Now, we offer great territories and people have a lot of opportunity for growth, but we're certainly not going to sell, right, you know, one 10 million, you know, wide area to just one person.
Totally.
That one was a tough one for us.
Yeah, that can hurt, especially when they're having some success, but you know, other people could really capitalize on the bigger market share with 10 million people in that vicinity.
No doubt. I'll tell you one more, because I think this is probably my most important one. This is going to be great for your audience. Growing from startup entrepreneur and evolving into penthouse CEO, that's everyone's entrepreneurial dream, but living that is it's different, you know, because the personality, the work habits, the travel demands, the pressure and stresses all are completely different from one another. And so you have to become a different person. I struggled with that. And so I'm hoping to learn from that here. I'm in startup mode right now, obviously, but I know there's going to be a day down the road where I'm going to have to be the penthouse CEO again, you know? And so when that day occurs, what I'm hoping happens is that we are going to build upon that, and I'm going to be able to learn how to evolve into that better than I did the first rodeo.
Well, I love that you say that, because that's a big part of this show. And I get comments from a lot of people that I interview and a lot of people that are listening to the show saying, you know what? I'm discovering that I'm really good at this stage. I'm not so good at that stage. And I think that, you know, that's a really valuable lesson to learn. And as you have like evolved the last businesses and grown into this business and diving back in from that penthouse CEO to a startup CEO again, where do you feel more comfortable and why do you think?
Well, look, if I'm picking startup CEOs, it's pretty fun. You know, I get to show up every day, get my hands dirty. And when I leave the office, I have something to show for it. You know, CEO life, when you have a larger business or organization, honestly, there's a lot of meetings, a lot of bureaucracy, just a lot of things that don't feel like things are happening very quickly. And my personality, I've already had to kind of learn this about myself. I kind of need quick results. Not that I'm impatient. I'm certainly patient. It took me 20 years to build Two Mates and a Mop into a national brand. But I really, really enjoy seeing fruits of my labor. You know, so when I leave the office today, for instance, I'm going to be able to look back and say, this is what I did and this is what happened. The meetings and all the bureaucracy are really tough on me, you know, so I prefer startup life, but I understand what's coming. And so I'm preparing myself to figure out a way to better handle that. I sort of conformed into that CEO role before. I'm not going to conform this time. I'm going to stay me, you know,
so do it your way. So I love that you say that, because, you know, I have talked to so many people in startup mode, and then the focus of this podcast has been very focused on people who are kind of graduated from startup and are either transitioning or have transitioned out of that like messy clutter, make mistakes all the time phase into more of a, I need to refine my processes stage. Can you walk us through how you're planning to do that more smoothly this time, as opposed to other times you've done this in the past?
Yeah. So number one, I'm getting in front of it. Oftentimes what I see with other entrepreneurs, what I saw in my life, is that you react. You become a firefighter every day instead of being proactively looking into the future and saying, okay, what's going to happen when we hit this stage? What's going to happen when we hit that stage? So I'm trying to stay in front of it now, instead of just all of a sudden waking up one day and we have 20 locations open from California to Florida, and I'm trying to figure out how to support all those folks and what I'm going to do, you know, personally to handle that. So if you can try to see in the future and expect success and growth to occur, then you can go ahead and talk about those issues with yourself and with your team, and just again, stay in front of it. That's one. The second is really understanding just who you are. You know, I was a first-time CEO for 20 years. And so during that whole 20 years, I never really looked at myself in that capacity. Now that I've sold the business and been able to kind of reflect on the growth and all the success that we were able to enjoy, I'm able to see how much greatness was there, you know, how many great things happened across our network. And so I'm able to sort of own my position a little bit better today than I was before. Sometimes I felt, you know, like just sort of undeserving of that role. And so it's something you need to believe in yourself and have the faith that your decisions are important to yourself and other people.
Just a few seconds to let you know about a project that we've been putting together for the last several months, and we're finally launching it, called the Captain's Council. You see, as a CEO or operator of a business, it can feel like you get stuck in your own head a lot of the time. You get challenges that you don't know how to resolve. You get people causing problems in your leadership team that you don't know how to resolve. And it's so hard to overcome those things by yourself. You don't have to anymore. Join the Captain's Council. Captain's Council is a group of other CEOs and operators and owners of businesses where we come together once a month for several hours to discuss the biggest challenges you're facing. You express to the council of 8 to 10 people about what's going on. Where do you feel stuck? And these other people are in the same boat as you. They're running and operating their own businesses. They're your peers. They help you kind of dissect what's happening and help you see things that you may not have seen all by yourself. If you don't have a good, strong network of people around you, come join the Captain's Council. This is going to be something that will change the way you run your business and open your eyes to opportunities that you have never seen without the help of your peer group. Come check it out, captainscouncil.com. I love it. Now you and I both know, as you, especially you, I would say, having recruited and sold franchises now to several dozen, hundreds of people, I guess I could say, in the franchise marketplace who want to be a CEO and want to be a business owner, how do you feel like you would qualify people? Because I mean, you talked a little bit about doing it better this time than you did last time. But when you meet someone who says, I want to quit my 9-to-5, and they talk the talk and they do all this stuff, how do you see someone and understand whether they're going to actually pull it off or not?
So that's a good question. With our industry, we go through certain phases of growth. And again, I had to learn this sort of on the job at Two Maids and a Mop, but now I know it's here. So right. In the phase we're in now, we're looking for very entrepreneurial cowboys, I'll call them, like folks who kind of shoot from the hip, maybe break a few rules, don't always follow the rules, and those folks can't be the majority of a franchise network because you really potentially hurt the brand when there's a lot of fragmentation. But early on, you need people who are going to go out there and be big, big dreamers, you know? And so there's a sacrifice that comes with that, because down the road, those same folks are going to really test the limits of what the branding can do or they can do within the brand. Down the road, not too far in our near future, in fact, you're going to want more soldiers. So we got generals early on, and we probably have more soldiers later on. Those are the folks that are probably more franchisee than entrepreneur, folks that just really want to follow the rules, that really respect all the structure that comes with a brand like this. And so early on, we need those high achievers who want to take over the world and don't mind taking the lead.
Help you figure it out.
Right. But later on, a little bit different. But overall, you know, an entrepreneur, everyone asks me all the time, like, what makes a good entrepreneur? And to me, it's really boils down to one thing. And this sounds really high, like in the clouds and everything. It's not X's and O's. It's just belief and faith. You know, if you believe in what you're doing and you really truly believe in what you're doing, then you're going to figure it out. You're going to make a bunch of mistakes. You're not going to do everything right. But if you keep believing, again, high in the clouds here, but if you keep believing,
you're going to overcome real thing. I'm with you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not perfect.
I'm with you,
I've made a ton of mistakes along the way, and I'm probably going to make more. But I'm going to always believe in what I'm doing, which means I'm going to win the marathon. I'm probably going to lose several sprints, but I'm going to win that marathon. I know I am.
Love it. No, dude, it's so true. And as you, I found it very interesting what you just described, though, because I think that there are definitely multiple types of personalities that could probably pull off a franchise, but there are very few people who think kind of like, wait, can I do this? And then they just do it anyway. And those are the people you probably need to build out that initial set of model. How do you model the franchise is with your earliest members, and how do they pull it off versus these guys need to be told everything and you just don't have time for that, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, I've already lived it once and seen how that kind of evolves. the soldiers really later on become the real value of the brand because there's so much structure and uniformity that comes with that. But you can't get there without the early folks that are going to break the rules later on, so it's just sort of, I don't know if that's how every other brand does it, but that's what I enjoy doing. I like being partners folks. Yeah.
I honestly don't think so. I think you've got yourself a good pattern here. This is a good mode of operational wisdom here.
Yeah. Well, it's working for us, and it also makes me happy because I like getting on the phone with folks that believe in the same stuff I believe in.
Yeah.
And we get to talk about a problem and solve it together. Right. It's not us. Oftentimes in the franchise world, franchisor and franchisee, unfortunately, are sometimes are competing against one another. They're not all brands will do that. But, that's somewhat common, unfortunately, across the industry. In our case, when we call a franchisee, we get to talk about problems together. If we do challenge one another, it's because we want the business to grow. You know, I don't own 1% equity in any of our franchise locations, but I feel like I'm 50-50 equity partners with everyone. And having that mentality,
that's really cool.
I think is ultimately what separates us. It's what gets me going every day, because what happens in Denver or Atlanta, I want to know the numbers. I want to know what's going on with the people. I want to know the names of our customers even.
I love it.
I want to know as much as possible because I believe I'm in business with them.
I love it. Now take a step back, and I want to, we haven't really dove into this current franchise model that you built, Pink Zebra. And so we talked Two Maids and a Mop a little bit, because that was our previous episode. That was your previous business, and it was how you learned all these lessons. But talk to us about Pink Zebra. What is this all about, and what are you doing differently? Because I looked into it, and I love the way you think. I love the differentiator that you have within your model, because home services can all kind of start blurring together into gray. I think that's why you chose pink. But walk us through this a little bit, because I love the way your brain works on this stuff.
So, short story, moving sucks, right? Nobody likes it. It's supposed to be painful. Nobody looks forward to it. You just want it over with, and then you move on, right? Well, we are trying to turn that upside down. Our slogan around here is we make moving fun. We really, truly believe we can make the moving experience fun. And so we put on a show. We think moving is literally theater. It's an opportunity to do something, to entertain even our customers. And so we do everything from normal things like over-communicate to abnormal things like offering free food the night before a move. We leave behind surprise boxes.
Is that right?
We play music in every room, and we dance to that music throughout the day. We do push-ups to start the day. Zeke, our mascot, shows up. He's, of course, a pink zebra. It's a spectacle. It's literally a zoo sometimes. And so we make
That's
moving
awesome.
Fun. And we do that because obviously it's fun, and it's just an energetic way to sort of build a business. But ultimately what we're trying to do is trying to build a relationship with our customers. I think that the biggest issue in this industry, the moving industry, is historically the 75 years that it's been around, every single move with a customer has been a transaction. So whether it's a few hundred dollars to several thousand dollars, every customer just pays someone and says, go on. And so it's never, never, ever a relationship unless maybe your uncle owns the moving company. We think that that's the problem.
Right.
We want to build a relationship with our customers. We want to get as close to them as we can possibly get. We choose fun, the emotion of fun, to do that. And ultimately, we're not perfect. We hire the same movers every other moving company hires. So we're going to make mistakes. We're going to be human beings and be imperfect.
Right.
But if we have a relationship, if we have a bond with our customers, then those small things can be overlooked. And so that's ultimately what we're trying to do.
Right.
Get away from this transaction that has occurred for so many years in this industry. There's so many war stories from moves, from damaged items
100%.
To crazy bills that you wouldn't expect to see, to small things like they showed up late, or maybe some that are bigger, they didn't show up at all. We want to do those things. Those are the basic things we got to do. But we want to turn it upside down and literally we want customers, our dream, our goal is for customers to actually look forward to hiring Pink Zebra Moving. And we think people are doing that. People are definitely intrigued. It's a little bit different and kind of out there. And so sometimes people are like, man, I can't wait to see what happens today. What's Pink Zebra Moving going to do?
That's so cool. That's cool. No, I love it. And you've got some great reviews. I was following up on some of the stuff you've been doing. And honestly, once again, it's just a fun, cool model that you've built that totally differentiates, because moving does suck, and it is boring and it is stupid and nobody's happy, but you're trying to make this into a fun thing. And I love what you're doing with this. So cool.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, it's fun. You know, it's not just that we make moving fun. It's fun showing up for work, you know, and the growth's cool. I mean, who doesn't like opening a new location? That's super exciting. But what's really fun is when one of our franchisees goes out and they actually put on a show, and then you hear about the show. You hear stories from that, you know, craziness. And so I love when those stories show back up in the home office. And it's like, you know, you're sort of over here trying to dream and create and hope for these things to come to life. And then they're coming to life. It's like a proud father moment, you know? So.
Love it. Love it. No, it's super cool. So as you grow this pool of franchisees, and you mentioned a lot earlier about how you really try to make them feel like you're partners with them as opposed to just a vendor for them, you know, tell me about that relationship. And do you encourage other franchisees to connect with other franchisees? Like, tell me about the model of relationship you build between the group of franchisees that helps them, or does it help them to grow and build their locations?
Yeah, the larger we get, the better we become, not just because there's more revenue rolling in, but because now there's multiple people operating this business model in multiple locations across the country.
As we
grow here, and what we've saw at Two Maids when we grew there, you know, the support we provide is great, you know, but it is unfortunately a transaction. They pay us a royalty.
Yeah.
We provide support in return. Franchisee to franchisee communication is free. Nobody's getting anything out of that other than the value of the information. And so those communications, those conversations that occur all the time, whether it's something that we coordinate with like an annual, you know, convention to virtual things like what we're doing now, those conversations go a long way to improving the overall business model. And sometimes we get great ideas from our franchise owners that we didn't see coming. You know, sometimes they offer a product or vendor solution that's better or cheaper or both. So the more we grow, the better we become, the stronger we become, the better our bottom line becomes for all of our franchisees as well. And you know, there's some obvious things when we open in a market here, that's going to help another market next door. And so right now we're brand new. When we enter a market, we're having to educate the marketplace because no one knows that we make moving fun. So we have to do a lot of work to tell people who we are. But over time, the brand takes care of that with growth.
Love it. I love it. And truthfully, I'm a huge advocate of operators, business operators connecting with other business operators and building that kind of team of, it's almost like an advisory board, you know, of people who are doing similar things that you're doing that can help provide some relief that, hey, you're not the only one dealing with that. Like, it's okay. That does suck, but you can get past it. Here's what I did, you know? And then other elements of just like knowing that other people are making it work. It gives you a trajectory that is unlike those who are just keeping their head in their own thing and not looking around to see that other people are having success in a similar industry.
Yep. No doubt about it. Once you listen to a peer share their secrets to success, you want to give that back. And so that's what we see happening 100%. All the time is no one operates a franchise in a vacuum. There's always collaboration.
Totally. I love it. Well, I could dive all day into that element all by itself, but I'm not going to. Ron, I love the story. I love the build. I love what you're doing with this thing. For those listening who are on the fence about their growth and about what to do next, and am I the right CEO that can take it from, say, maybe 2 or 3 million into a 10 to 15 to 20 to $100 million company, what do you tell them? And what do you recommend for them to kind of get past that stage of, I hit $1 million in revenue, I'm not really sure what to do next?
Yeah, so mine's kind of going to take you back into the clouds again, but I still, X's and O's, I'm not an ops guy. You know, I do the dirty work sometimes and because you got to, you know, but what I truly believe my secret to success is, it's just I have faith in what I'm building. And so that starts with crafting a real vision for your future. And that vision needs to be actually articulated. You got to do more than just stare at the wall at midnight as you're, you know, thinking about your future and start dreaming. Like, you need to document that dream, own that thing, like stick it on your walls, make a koozie that says it, you know, maybe your mouse pad says it, you know, put it on the mirror in the morning, you know, like see that thing all the time and then tell other people about it. Like, make it as competitive as you can make it so that somebody says, hey, are you shooting for that 100 million still? Because you told me last week you were. I saw it on your koozie. Own that thing every day, every single day, today, tomorrow, into the future. And then you're going to figure out ways to get there. You will, because you've told the world what you're doing. I'm telling the world, we are Pink Zebra Movement is the world's first happy moving company. We're not just going to disrupt this industry. We're going to create a whole new category called happy movers. One day down the road, people are going to say, hey, did you hire one of those like old school movers or one of those happy movers? That started with the Pink Zebra Movement. I'm telling that to everyone that will hear it, because I'm competing against myself. And so that vision I have for this brand is more important than any Monday morning meeting that I'm going to have, you know? So that's what I would tell every aspiring entrepreneur that's just stuck or not sure how to get there. Own the vision, tell the world about it, compete against yourself. And if you lose a day, that's fine, because, you know, all you need to do is worry about the marathon. The sprints don't really matter.
Fantastic. Love it. Love it. Hey, and for those of you listening, I challenge you to go check this out. If you're running a business that is doing fantastic and you're growing and you think you're on the right path, reach out. If you're throwing around business ideas and you're not really sure what to do, look at the franchise model. I tell people this all the time, Ron. If they aren't sure about what to do to start a business, go start with a franchise first. And I think that you have built some amazing franchises. I highly encourage anyone out there who's thinking about starting a business, go talk to Ron, figure out what he's up to, and see if you fit his criteria to even be one of his franchisees. But more importantly, just follow his model. This is a great thing to look at. It's a great model to view and say, holy crap, it took him 20 years the first time. Probably took you how many years to get to the first 10 franchises on the previous business, Ron?
It took almost 10 years. Yeah, it was a long ramp.
Okay. So now here you are, only a few years into this. I mean, you're what, two years into this? A
couple years into it, yeah.
I love it. And you're at 10 and growing. This is awesome, dude. Way to go.
Thank you so much, Todd.
So everybody check him out. And Ron, thanks so much again for being on the show. I hope this reaches the audience you're looking for. I know it's going to benefit my audience. And thanks again for taking the time to do this today.
I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, what did you think of that interview? Like, honestly, what did you think? I love Ron. I think he's a great, great entrepreneur. He's so passionate about what he does. And he's so, I think he's just an operational genius. Anyone that can build something inside of an industry as boring as house cleaning or as monotonous as moving and something people hate, trying to make it fun. Like, this is a really cool dude. And I love his mindset. I love how he does encourage people to take the step back and look into the clouds and enjoy what's going on around you and see yourself being successful. One of the ways he talked about doing that is to be able to communicate and collaborate with other people in the same boat you're in. Meaning, if you're an executive building a business, or you're a CEO / founder, or just a founder, co-partner, this is an opportunity for you to jump into a peer group. Peer groups are not just for fun. They are fun, but they are also to help you build an advisory team of people who have been there, done that, along with you. People that have built and are growing their businesses at the same stage you are provides a great opportunity to learn the lessons that they're learning. You can all help each other. And the way we do this is in a group called the Captain's Council. Check out captainscouncil.com and understand that by your taking the time to become part of a peer community of 10 other CEOs who are in the same boat you're in, they're in growth mode. They're past launch. They're trying to get to that next stage of growth. And who's going to help them? You are. Who's going to help you? They are. That's the whole point of a peer community, and I would love for you to check it out. They are the sponsor of this program today, and I hope you check out captainscouncil.com and enjoy the community there. Enjoy the community here in the Growth and Scaling Podcast. We can't wait to see you on the next episode and hope you join us in the council at your earliest convenience. Check it out. Book a call today to find out more details. We'll see you then.